I'm Bill Littlefield. D'Artagnan Crockett's early life was bleak. His mother died when he was 8 years old. His father was an addict. By the time D'Artagnan was a sophomore in high school, he was sleeping on friends' couches. And, oh yeah, D'Artagnan is legally blind.
Being a black kid in a city with physical limitations, or what people call a disability, you're already written off. No one expects much from you. You're basically useless. And I wasn't in a position where I could fix that.
D'Artagnan's story is a Paralympic story. Those games are going on right now in Rio. But before becoming a Paralympian, D'Artagnan would become part of a new family. Here's only a games Karen Given.
D'Artagnan Crockett couldn't change his circumstances, so he did the only thing he could. He tried to hide them. D'Artagnan's severely nearsighted, but he had just enough sight to get by, so he pretended he could see. He joined his high school wrestling team and didn't even tell the coaches.
They had no idea. I was looking at something and I was having a hard time seeing it. It was like, what's going on there? I'm like, oh, I'm visually impaired. The coach was like, you what? I didn't want them to know.
D'Artagnan didn't want the coaches to treat him any differently, so they didn't. Then one day, during senior year, Leroy Sutton joined the wrestling team at Lincoln West High School in Cleveland. D'Artagnan was one of the team captains, and he wasn't the least bit worried that his team's new recruit was missing something. Well, two somethings.
We were talking in the cafeteria, and I asked him what happened to his legs. And he told me that, yeah, I was run over by a train. And I laughed. Like one of those deep belly laughs. You'd always heard the, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry, oh, how'd that happen? Just to see someone not feeling sorry for him just kind of sparked a bond almost instantly.
Good thing, because when the bus showed up on a snowy day to take the team to their first wrestling match of the season, it wasn't wheelchair accessible.
I told him, like, hey, jump on my back. We'll do this.
Soon, D'Artagnan was carrying Leroy on and off buses, up and down stairs and into the bleachers. Leroy weighed about 170 pounds, but D'Artagnan didn't think much of it. He certainly didn't think it would change his life.
It was just helping out a friend, which, I mean, who wouldn't?
But there was something Leroy Sutton didn't know about D'Artagnan Crockett.
Nah, I didn't know he was blind. I found out in class. I noticed he was, like, really close to the book that we were reading. So I was like, all right, yeah, it's a problem seeing. So I turned to a couple of the other students around me, and I was like, hey, man, let's do this, like, a project style and, you know, read out loud.
And that's probably how things would have stayed. D'Artagnan and Leroy helping each other out, both thinking it was no big deal. If not for an ESPN features producer named Lisa Finn and her dad. Early one morning in February of 2009, Lisa's dad called. He woke her up and told her to check out a story in the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
And there was a photograph of two high school wrestlers. One of them was riding on the back of the other because he had no legs. I was just completely in awe of this photograph. There was just something about the expression on Leroy's face in particular.
Lisa rushed to work to convince her boss, his name was Victor, to send her to Cleveland right away to film Leroy and D'Artagnan in what was likely to be their last high school wrestling match. And all she had was this photograph.
He said something to the effect of, are they good wrestlers? And I said, probably not, knowing the high school that they went to. Are they friends? Kind of looks like it. One's on the other's back. Are they articulate? Victor, I said, just look at this picture. Like, it's the one who can't walk being carried by the one who can't see. And Victor's a good man. And he just looked at me and said, have a nice trip to Cleveland.
Lisa headed to the airport. She had already packed a bag. During the drive, she found a camera crew that could meet her in Cleveland and called the school. She arrived during warm-ups. But before she could introduce herself to Leroy and D'Artagnan, she was stopped by their coach.
He said, hey, you the ESPN lady? And I said, yes, I am. And I extended my hand, introduced myself, and he playfully slapped it away. And he leaned in and looked me in the eye. And he said, you have been sent here by God. You know that? He said, did you hear me? He said, you've been sent here by God today. And he said, this year he'd been praying really hard for D'Artagnan and for Leroy. because he felt once they graduate, the world had nothing for kids like them.
D'Artagnan was excited to talk to Lisa. He told me he felt it was about time that someone noticed him for something he was doing right. But Leroy just put in his earbuds and stared at the floor.
I was so surprised. In 13 years, the first time I'd ever been with an amateur athlete or a teenager who was not excited to see ESPN.
What Lisa didn't know yet, but would find out later, is that when Leroy was run over by a train on his way to school at the age of 11, the local paper followed him for a year and ran a 6-page spread under the headline, Comeback Kid. The paper didn't mention some of the things their reporters must have seen, that Leroy's mom wasn't taking him to his physical therapy appointments or even making sure he made it to school. She was spending his disability checks on drugs.
So I was like, whatever, I'm not trying to be in the spotlight or not trying to get any, pity or praise for being in the chair. You know, it's my life.
Lisa knew that if she wanted to tell this story, she'd need Leroy's help. So she asked a coach, the one who had told her she was sent by God, to go with her to visit Leroy at his grandmother's house. Leroy was sitting on the floor of his basement room playing video games. And again, he wouldn't even look at her.
So for about an hour, I just made conversation with his coach and we left. I went back by myself the next night. Again, I sat beside him on the floor this time, and again, he wouldn't speak to me, not any more than a grunt. Anyway, I asked a few questions, and so I left. I came back a third night, same thing, and on the fourth night, I said to him, Leroy, I want to thank you for letting me visit you these last 4 days. I can tell it's not easy for you, so I'm not going to come back, but I think somewhere deep inside you have a lot to say. And I think it's probably important.
She was like, if, you know, you want to tell your story or even if you just want to talk to me as a friend, then I'll be here for you.
My heart was really heavy as I went up the stairs because I feared that if I left, no one may ever find him again. But as I got to the front door, I heard him coming up the stairs and he called out to me and he just sort of gruffly said,
hey, I got this new game. You wanna see it? And then she watched me play a game.
It felt really good. Not because I had won anything, but because I know how difficult it is for trauma victims to trust, and he certainly didn't fully trust me, but he was willing to take a chance.
So Lisa set out to tell Leroy and D'Artagnan's story for ESPN. She interviewed her subjects and researched their backgrounds. She maintained proper journalistic distance from the two teenagers, even though she did buy them dinner at Subway after their shoots. Until one day when she discovered that she couldn't be just an observer anymore. It was at the conference powerlifting championships.
D'Artagnan was in the process of winning the whole thing when he went to the bleachers to rest, I guess.
Actually, people were saying how stuff was stolen, and we went over to check, and a lot of our things were stolen.
So his wallet, his ID, his phone, his duffel bag, everything he had.
I even had my social security card in it because I didn't know where else to put it.
And he went into a full-on rage, like where he looked capable of violence.
I completely went ballistic. Because when you grow up with nothing and you have nothing, having something stolen from you is a huge thing.
Lisa offered to help D'Artagnan replace his things, and D'Artagnan accepted, but she'd need cash. So she turned to her cameraman, his name was Cameron, and asked if she could borrow some money.
And he kind of rolled his eyes at me and let out a big sigh, and he said, go save the turtles.
Turtles. Okay, hang with me here. Lisa was about to do something journalists aren't supposed to do. She was going to affect the outcome of her story. And that's not a good idea for the story, for the reporter, and sometimes even for the people being interviewed. But here's the thing. Have you ever found yourself watching a video and something really awful is happening and no one is doing anything to stop it? For Cameron, it was watching nature films about baby sea turtles trying to survive their short walk from the sand to the sea.
And Cameron said, and then It hits you. Sea turtles would not be endangered if the cameraman would just pick them up and throw them in the ocean. And he said, these boys wouldn't be struggling if we helped them. So go. Go. Cross that sacred line of journalistic ethics. Here's $200. Go save the turtles.
Lisa shot 120 hours of video, about 100 hours more than normal. She spent 2 months editing. That's a job that usually takes 2 weeks.
At Lincoln West High School in Cleveland, senior wrestlers D'Artagnan Crockett and Leroy Sutton are a team of their own. Inseparable, joined together at more than the hip.
ESPN aired the story in August of 2009. Leroy called D'Artagnan as soon as it was over.
The conversation was just, dude, I know, right? Yeah.
It was just grunts and dudes. It was very short.
Because, I mean, there was nothing else that we needed to say. Because everything was said in the story. We both just understood that it was powerful.
D'Artagnan and Leroy didn't yet know how much power was in their story. But Lisa was starting to find out.
Whew. I had spent that whole edit period sort of praying that just one person would see it and want to help them. And that was a really small prayer. Because within minutes of the story airing, I was started getting 2-3 emails a minute from people who saw it and wanted to help.
Soon, there was money for college. So Lisa helped Leroy and D'Artagnan make it through their entrance exams and college applications. She took them shopping for school supplies. Leroy moved to Phoenix to study video game development at Collins College of Design. And D'Artagnan attended school in Colorado while training with a Paralympic judo team in Colorado Springs. Lisa thought her job was done, but it was just beginning.
You know, I had put them on television as these resilient sort of action figure hero friends that I saw and that I believed they still were. But now I was dealing with essentially preteens in terms of the life skills that they had.
Leroy and D'Artagnan struggled in school. Lisa had them both tested and found that their skills were far below grade level. Lisa taught them how to write up a budget, but they still ran out of money almost as soon as it was deposited in their bank accounts. To hear Leroy and D'Artagnan tell it, it wasn't that bad. Leroy says the schoolwork was easy. It was just the organizational skills he was lacking. And D'Artagnan admits that training with the Paralympic team was stressful, but it was nothing like the stress of wondering where he'd be sleeping the next night. But everyone agrees that the stakes were high.
They needed to stay afloat because there was no plan B. They had nowhere to go back to. They had no family to go back to. They had no saving account to fall back on. They had no education to fall back on. It broke my heart.
Slowly, things started to improve. D'Artagnan figured out how to get to practice on time. And somehow, just 2 years after arriving at the Olympic Training Center, he qualified to compete in judo at the London Paralympics.
I started 2 years late. Reality, I started 18 years too late. And so the idea of me making a Paralympic team just seemed sort of impossible.
Lisa and Leroy flew to London to cheer D'Artagnan on. And then?
He did it. It was amazing.
He won the bronze.
He did.
And what was that moment like?
Well, now you're going to make me cry. It was unbelievable. And I say this a lot, but it was like watching this boy who had spent his life largely forgotten by this world. As his coach said, nothing for him in this life. And now he was standing on the top of a Paralympic podium with a medal around his neck. It was just one of the most stirring, powerful, redemptive images I have ever witnessed.
The USOC gives American medal winners the opportunity to give a medal to the person they feel is most responsible for getting them to the podium. It's called the Order of Ecos, and it's supposed to go to a coach.
I, of course, gave it to Lisa. There was no one else to consider.
He hung this medal around my neck and gave me a big hug and thanked me for all I had done. That was a moment of love.
It felt really great to see how appreciative and grateful she was to receive an award or gift, whatever you want to call it, from me.
Back home in Phoenix, Leroy was struggling. His girlfriend had given birth to his daughter, but the stresses of school and finances and being a dad were too much for him. He was diagnosed with PTSD. Leroy saw a therapist for a while, but then he decided that he didn't want to talk to a stranger. He wanted to talk to Lisa.
What he needed most in that moment was, again, just as I did in the basement 3 years prior, someone to sit beside him and wait and listen.
Things started to look up for Leroy. He would eventually graduate from college and get a job as a video game tester. Yes, he plays video games for a living. But before all that, he started a tradition. In May of 2013, he wrote Lisa a letter for Mother's Day. When I asked him why he did it, it was almost like he didn't understand why I needed to ask.
Because she feels like my mom. I was like, hey, she deserves this. See, I did it.
That letter is printed in Lisa's new book. I was hoping Leroy would read it out loud for me, and he said he had a copy on his phone.
Nope, that one's not on my phone. I have the one from this year, though.
Can you read some of that to me? Is that okay?
Sure. Actually, it's kind of weird, so I could email it to you.
I thought Leroy was hesitating because he didn't want to share something so personal. This is the guy who made Lisa sit, staring at him, while he played video games for four consecutive nights before he'd even speak to her. So I was surprised when it showed up in my inbox just a few minutes later. It's a poem, and part of it goes like this. When I first met you, those were dark days. In that time, I was stuck in my dark way. There was no light, so you set the world ablaze. But now these days, I'm full of smile, full of play. Hope you feel loved today. So I take this moment to say, thank you, Mom. I love you.
I had never gone through these things with Leroy and D'Artagnan expecting a thank you or acknowledgement. It wasn't why I was in this. You know, when people ask me what surprises me about our story, I say it's that they loved me back.
That's Lisa Fenn speaking to Only a Game's Karen Given. Lisa's new book is called Carry On, A Story of Resilience, Redemption, and an Unlikely Family, and it's available now.